This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. It's Thursday today. I do need to go in tomorrow for a little bit. We are moving some databases. It's raining here today, so I'm going to go ahead and turn on the windshield wipers. We are moving some databases. This is like getting kicked out of your house. So I have to go in tomorrow and try to help out with that. Actually, we're not physically moving them until 2 weeks from today. But we thought we'd do a little preliminary work and hopefully make it a little easier on ourselves. So got to go in for a little bit today. And then tomorrow I am going to go by and write one of the big checks on the super secret project, which isn't so super secret anymore. I don't know what we're going to call it now that we don't call it the super secret project. I mean, the project has a product name that we'll get to in a little bit. Well, it's called the VaneWorks Stand. So I'm going to be starting to put up a website soon. So when I refer to the VaneWorks Stand, it's a desk stand that has a couple of mirrors, and it converts a rear-facing camera into a front-facing camera. That's the super secret project that we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks. By the way, this is episode 76. Okay, now that we've got that out of the way. So, in other news, Knit Central is going back on, at least the Knit Clips portion of it, this Sunday, I think we are through maternity leave now, and we've been recording some things, and my daughter has gotten some things edited up, and we actually had 12 knit clips left over from before when we went on maternity leave, and so we've got those 12 in queue, and then I think we've got another 40 odd some that we've done since then, and so we're going to start pinging them out a day at a time. And some cute stuff in there. There's some cute stuff. So those will start showing up, I think this Sunday they're going to start showing up. That's going fine. The work at my main client is going fine. What else? Super secret project. I'm getting to the end. Oh, well, I won't say that because now I have to talk about the super secret project, and I'll actually get to that in a minute. Okay, so last week, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the idea, how when the idea appears, you don't want it just to dribble out your ear, but you actually want to evaluate. The next thing is, once you decide that, yeah, it's, you know, looks like a pretty good idea, then you want to figure out how you're going to go about doing it. And last week I had concluded with the fact that I had decided that I was just going to do it myself in terms of the engineering. So then once you decide that, then the next step is, okay, what tools do I need? What classes do I need to attend? Because there's no substitute for doing it. And if you haven't done it before, you need to get somebody who has, or find someone that can teach you how, or something. I mean, you can't, if all you have is head knowledge about something, you find that it's hugely different when you actually do it. So I had spent a lot of time reading on the internet about plastic injection molding and going over what the parameters were for how to design it and all that sort of thing. I had bought a book, read that up, had done that sort of thing, but now you've got to actually put your hands on it and learn how to do this. So there was a company in town called D3 Technologies, and they were having free seminars on Autodesk Inventor. And they happened to be having a seminar on a Friday. It was a 4-hour seminar for Autodesk Inventor, and it coincided with my schedule, so of course I called them up and said, yeah, this would be great. I'd like to get a little hands-on experience. So I did that, and then after doing that, I actually received a 30-day evaluation copy. I knew that that was coming with the package, and I was interested in getting the demo to get that. I could have downloaded it. I was actually hoping it was Autodesk Inventor 11, but it was just Autodesk Inventor 12. And so I wanted to get that because my plan was take the class and then see what you can get accomplished in 30 days. Because that way, I'm not out any money. I can just wander into this cheap. And if I spend 30 days and I absolutely cannot figure this out, well, okay, then, you know, this was a nice idea, but it's not really in my skill set or capabilities. And or if I find that it's just not really work that I want to engage in, then okay, fine. So went to the class, took the training. I stumbled my way through it, but it was close. And then came home, installed it, started getting to work. I had one design in mind when I started it, and it was different than my initial design because as I had talked to people, they said, well, yeah, wouldn't it be great if it did this? Wouldn't it be great if it did that? And so from those things, then I had started in my mind to design something else. I had a little prototype that I had made out of foam core and a couple of mirrors from Hobby Lobby, and that seemed to work. So I thought, well, okay, using the principles of what I know about plastic injection molding and then this preliminary design I have, let's see if I can get it over there. And that'll be my goal. Take 30 days, see if you can get it over there. And in addition to all of that, I had been studying up on what is available in order to do prototypes. Because now there's a lot of cool stuff available to do prototypes. One of them is a printer that actually sprays down plastic in 1/100th of an inch increments, and you can build prototypes. It uses an ABS plastic, and you can actually physically build prototypes with this thing. And so, and I had seen it here and there. I did some more research on it, and there were service bureaus where I could just send the drawings off to a service bureau and have them go ahead and build it for me. And so I thought, okay, well, what I'll do is I'll spend 30 days. I will see if I can get a prototype up in 30 days. And if I can, then I'll go ahead and I'll send it off to one of these service bureaus and have them print it. And then I'll take a look at it and see how close I am in terms of converting my ideas to the real world before I have to spend some real money for this software, because the software is expensive. And I wanted to just kind of wade into the water a little bit before I took the big plunge. So I did that. In my evenings, I would come home and I would work. First time I ever tried to do something in Autodesk Inventor, so I was stumbling along and learning as I was going and looking it up on Google and praying and listening to whispers and doing all of that. And of course, there's no correlation per se between the virtual world and the physical world in terms of what plastic can and cannot do, because I've never done this before. But that was the reason I was going through this process. I was able, in those 30 days, to actually come up with a design. It wasn't a great design, but I was able to come up with a design. And I was able, before the software trial period ran out, to create some files that I then uploaded to a service bureau in Minneapolis and had them go ahead and print them for me. That one prototype cost me $600 to print, which is a little steep, especially since I really don't have an engineering background, and I knew that this would be an iterative process. as I mentioned last week. I would have to do a little bit and then go and then do a little bit and go and do a little bit and go. And so this just confirmed to me that, in fact, I not only needed the software, but I needed a way to create these prototypes. And so I started looking around, found a company that rented these printers. The printer itself is a printer called Uprint from Stratasys, and the printer itself costs $15,000. Now, I did consider purchasing one. I looked into those options and thought, well, if I actually had one in my basement, could I make some money off of it? How much is it going to cost me to rent? How many months do I think I'm going to need it? You know, I ran all those numbers and considered all those possibilities, because this is a great dance and it's my free will and I get to make the choice. So I ran all those numbers, and what I concluded from that, after doing some investigation, talking to a sales rep at the company that was renting these printers, is that I concluded that it could be likely that I could rack up as much as $15,000 making prototypes on this machine in terms of keeping it that long. But I put a stake down in the ground for myself, and I said, if I can't get to a marketable product in 6 months, that was my cutoff point. If I can't get to a marketable product in 6 months, I'm done. Because I don't know that it's wise to necessarily just have something that's completely open-ended. If you just leave it completely open-ended, you just end up spending tens of thousands of dollars. And many are the stories of people. If you've ever watched Shark Tank and these guys come in and they say, how much you have invested? Oh, I got about $50,000. I've got $100,000. I've got $300,000 invested this. And they're not even to a marketable product yet. Well, you have to sell so many products to make back that kind of money that it doesn't seem wise to me. So I needed to set myself a boundary. And what I set myself as a boundary was 6 months. In addition to that, I had set myself a boundary of a dollar amount, approximate. I knew, you know, that there was a possibility it would slosh around a little bit, but an approximate dollar amount of $30,000, $30,000 to $35,000. I had been squirreling away some entrepreneurial mad money for a little while, and I got started with that because of the internet business. I've told you the story before about needing internet at my house, so I decided to start a business. Well, I spent $35,000 to get that business off the ground, but I was paid back in about 2.5 years. I was paid out. I'd made my $35,000 back, and currently that business makes me about $500 a month. Okay, that's not a bad deal. And it might cost me 5 hours a month. I mean, it doesn't cost me any more than that. So, you know, it makes me $500 a month for about 5 hours worth of work, and I don't have any capital investment in it anymore. I've completely drawn my money out. I mean, making $6,000 a year interest on a $35,000 investment is pretty good just by itself. You're crowding 20%. You're not quite there, whatever it is, 17, 18%. That's pretty good. But to have your capital investment completely back out of it and still making $500 a month, hey! And after I did that, I thought, you know, I should like keep a little entrepreneurial fund around in case something else comes up that I can just try stuff. So I had this entrepreneurial fund set up, $35,000. And I had decided I'm willing to throw this amount of money at this. I use the term throw loosely because I'm just not going to spend it like crazy. I want to have certain hit points to say, okay, if I can't get X accomplished by the time I get to X boundary, that's it. We're done. Because I'm not going to let this thing just drag on and drag on and drag on, and I'm not just going to keep pouring money into it until it exhausts my finances. It's not worth that to me. But as a little adventure, I'm willing to put some money into it. All right, so I've got $30,000, $35,000. First thing I have to do is I have to buy software. The software is $8,000. Once you factor in the sales tax, $8,000. You know, to get in the game, I have to pay $8,000 to buy Autodesk Inventor Professional Suite. I could have saved $1,000 there and got a little less functionality, but some of the functionality that was excluded, I thought I might use this someday. There was a possibility. Okay, fine. $8,000 goes down on the table, just like that. I justified that expense by looking at the engineering that would be required to get the product out the door, understanding that I work iteratively, and so I might make suggestions to someone and then say, yeah, build this for me, and then have them come and I would look at it and go, it's not quite right. Well, this company I bought the software from charges over $100 an hour for their time, and I looked at it and I thought, do I believe that we could chew up 80 hours of time working with an engineer to get this to the point that I would want it to be? And the answer was yes, absolutely yes. Maybe not because the final product is that complicated, but sometimes you have to put a lot of effort into something to make it simple. As weird as that sounds, you have to put effort in it to make it simple, and I understood that principle. And so when I looked at it and said, 80 hours working with a consultant to do this, I think easily we could rack up that. All right, I could either pay the consultant or I could pay me, and I decided to pay me. So I put $8,000 down on the table. All right, the next thing then is to actually look into getting the printer. After I had ordered the prototype and I looked at it from that service bureau and it cost me $600, I immediately saw where there was problems. Because I had it in my hand then. And I just went, oh yeah, this isn't going to work, that's not going to work, this isn't going to work. No good. In fact, as I was trying to put it together, first thing is I broke one of the pieces off because there was too much tension on the plastic. And I went, oh, that didn't work, I just broke that off. And my wife said, you just broke something that you spent $600 on? And I said, yep, that's because I didn't know what I was doing. That stuff happens. There will be sunk cost in every project that you undertake. That's the way it goes. Don't spend a lot of time crying over sunk costs if it got you somewhere to the next step, which this had. I could look at it, I could see, yeah, I need to do some things here. So the next thing was, spent the money, got Autodesk Inventor 11, got it in, started to do the redesign. I think it was at that point I decided there are many things that I don't know about this process. I've never done this before. It would be wiser for me to start with something simple, push it all the way through to completion, including trying to sell it, see how that goes, before I start getting more complicated. So that's another principle that I put into play with this. Understand, there's no substitute for doing it. It's always better to do it once, because once you do it once, you know much better what you're doing. And it's always better to start simple. So I took my prototype that was fairly complicated and had some hinges and all that sort of thing in it, and I just threw all that away. And I thought, let's take this right back down to the basic idea that I had of this image that came into my mind. Let's go with a one-piece desk stand that requires one mold, where we can just make them, boom, drop them, put some mirrors in them, and go. And so with this refined idea of the simplified product, I then made the next step, which was, do I need a printer? And I had pretty much already decided that yes, I did need a printer. Well, the printer, to rent it for a minimum of 3 months, the printer was going to cost me about $3,500 to rent it for 3 months. And that did not include the material. It included starter packs of the material, but from there on out, I would be paying $140 a spool. And a spool has about 30 cubic inches on it. However, that prototype that I had a service bureau print for me for $600, my cost, once I got the printer in, was going to be probably somewhere around $70 or $80. Okay, well see, if I know I'm doing a bunch of iterations and I'm going to need to print a bunch of these things and I can save myself $400 to $500 every time I print one because I've got the printer in my basement, that $3,000 pays itself back very quickly. And it has. It has. I have had the printer now for 2 months. I'm going into my third month. I will probably return it after my third month because of some other things that are coming up, and I can already see that those are forming up, and I'm going to quickly get to the place where it's not going to make sense fiscally for me to have this printer in my basement when it's costing me $1,000 a month for it just to sit there. But for this 3 months, I have used that printer. I mean, in my office, over in the corner, I have a whole pile of prototypes that I've built. And in fact, when I said last week what the version number was, but there's actually, I've gone beyond that, which is a story that I'll tell you in coming weeks. I'm getting my mail, by the way. Because right now, it looks like the version that's going to be the actual version that will be created is going to be version 32. And there have been some subversions in there as well. So if I had not gotten the printer and I had done that many versions, which maybe I would have done less versions, granted, maybe I would have done less versions if I didn't have the printer. But if you take 32 versions and you multiply that by, I'm backing into my garage, by the way, which is the reason I've gotten softer. If you take 32 versions and you multiply that by $500 a piece, you're up to $16,000. And so it made much more sense for me to rent the printer. Even though I've probably spent an additional $2,000 or so on material for the printer. And I'm getting ready to spend even more, which we'll talk about that in the days to come. So probably my total outlay on that printer, having the printer here, is going to be somewhere around $6,000, $6,500. But because it has allowed me to work in an iterative way, I think it's paid for itself. And it's allowed me to do enough revisioning that I've been able to get to something that's simple, that works well. So that pretty much brings us up to a couple of weeks ago. And next week, then we'll start talking about, okay, so I've got this prototype in my hand now. What's next? This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.